Well, a question that is often asked on Mother's Day is, what should we get Mom this year? It's a common question. But I think a much better question would be, how did we honor Mom this year? Because I think for many, this day, when families pay special tribute to their mothers in various ways, we give them gifts, we take them out to dinner, all of those kinds of wonderful things. But unfortunately, the sad fact is, Mother's Day is also a time, I think, when families atone for the past year when we weren't as attentive to our mothers. We didn't honor them. We did not appreciate them in the way that we should. Now, certainly that's not true in all families, but I think, unfortunately, in many. I heard the story of a woman, the mother of four daughters, who made an appointment to see her lawyer. Now, she was a widow, 90 years old, knowing that her time was coming to an end. And so she went to her lawyer and she said, I want to make an addendum to my last will and testament, including my final wishes. She said, I've decided that instead of burial, she said, I'd like to be cremated. He said, okay, we can do that. She said, but there's one other thing. She said, when that is completed, I want my ashes to be scattered over Bloomingdale's department store. He looked at her for a moment and he said, well, I think I can make that happen too. He said, but why in the world over Bloomingdale's? She said, because that way I can be assured that my girls will come and visit me several times every month. You do what you got to do. I know that's not true for any of you. But you know, God's word is clear that we are to honor both our mothers and our fathers. We'll say, well, where does it say that? Well, it's in the book of Exodus, in the 20th chapter, the 12th verse. These are the Ten Commandments. And these commands are the foundational instructions for all of human behavior. And they are, in fact, the basis for the laws of every people group that has existed throughout all of history. The commandments are divided into two groups. You may not be aware of this, but they're divided into two groups. The first five commandments deal with our relationship with God. Thou shalt have no other God before me, and not take the Lord's name in vain. Those things, five of them. The last four are about our relationships to each other. Don't murder, don't steal, don't covet. But the tenth one is the one that sits right in the middle. It's the fifth commandment. And it's unique. It's different. It says, honor thy father and your mother so that you may live long in the land that God your father has given you. So what sets this commandment apart? Why is that any different? Well, there's two reasons. Number one, it is the only one of the ten that comes with a promise. There is a promise attached to this commandment. If you honor your father and your mother, you will live well in the land that God has given you. So what is unspoken in that commandment is the antithesis of that, is it not? If you do not honor your mother and father, you're not going to live well in the land. And I am convinced, as I have talked to people throughout the years, that so many of the things that people will struggle with as adults will find their way back to a fractured relationship with a mother or a father. And so God sets that in place for us to know this is how important this is. It's why I'm always encouraging you to mend those breaks, to take the first step to reach out. And again, I know so many times we want to go, well, you don't know what they said to me. You don't know what they did to me. I don't have to. I know that the example we have of God's love for us should be all that we need that sets the precedent for us to come and to say, hey, let's talk. Let's work this out. Let's make it right. So that first part is that there's a promise that comes with it. The second thing that makes this unusual is that this command has been known as the bridge commandment. It links the first five with the last four. because it is the one that shows us how we are to treat the ones that God brought into our lives, the one that God assigned to bring you into life. But it's not always easy. That's a complicated thing sometimes, because we all know that not all parents are loving, kind, and forgiving. We know that there are relationships that are difficult, and I appreciate some of you may be struggling today with this day. I get that. Some of you may be struggling as a parent who does not have a child with them any longer. It's difficult. And certainly, those of us that have lost our mothers, you never get over that. You never fully recover. This is my first Mother's Day without my mother. And it's especially hard. I had to stop several times while I was preparing this text and just walk away from it because the memories are so fresh. The pain is still so intense. I don't know how long that pain will last in that way. I know that I will move forward. That's what my mother would want. That's what all of our mothers want, I believe, is when we lose them, they don't want us to stay stuck in that place. Why? Because they love us. Because it's important for us to be able to then teach our children, our grandchildren, the things that we learned from our parents. But you know, in spite of the possibility that perhaps your mother was not as kind to you as perhaps she should have been, we are to honor them not based on reciprocity. In other words, I'm not called to love my parents in the measure that they love me. Does that make sense? It doesn't say honor your mother and father if they're good mothers and fathers. It doesn't say love that person because they were loving to you. We are commanded by God to honor our mothers and our fathers, regardless of how good a parent they were. And you see, I believe that we can see in that fifth commandment an earthly representation of God's love for us, and certainly as a forerunner of the love of Jesus demonstrated by the fact that he gave his life for us. We did not deserve that. And yet we are called to honor our parents even if they don't deserve it. But see, I'm believing that the vast majority of you in here this morning had good relationships with your parents. Good is a measure, I understand. It can be really, really good. It can be, well, it's okay. But see, in spite of whatever level of relationship you had with your parents, we're called to honor them. And this morning, I want to take a few minutes to look briefly at an Old Testament account. And it's a familiar story, I think, for most of us. And it's going to seem like somewhat of an unusual passage to pull out on Mother's Day, but I think it does show us a godly example of how we should honor our mothers and fathers and even each other. But I can tell you here, right before it's read, and I've asked Miles to come in to read this for us, these two mothers are not a prime example of what you want to aspire to be. Turn to the book of 1 Kings. This is the third chapter. 1 Kings, interestingly enough, is right before 2 Kings. There you go. I'm teaching you about your Bible this morning. 1 Kings, okay. 1 Kings, third chapter. This is the 16th to the 28th verses. Miles?
Now two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. One of them said, "My lord, this woman and I live in the same house. I had a baby while she was there with me. The third day after my child was born, this woman also had a baby. We were alone. There was no one in the house but the two of us. During the night, this woman's son died because she laid on him. So she got up in the middle of the night. She took my son from my side while your servant, was asleep. She put him by her breast and put her dead son by my breast. The next morning, I got up to nurse my son, and he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning light, I saw that it wasn't the son that I had born. The other woman said, 'No, the living son is mine, the dead son is yours.' But the first one insisted, 'No, the dead son is yours, the living one is mine.' So they argued before the king. The king said, 'This one says my son is alive and your son is dead, while that one says, 'No, "Your son is dead and mine is alive." Then the king said, "Bring me a sword." So they brought him a sword for the king. He then gave the order, "Cut the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other." The woman whose son was alive was filled with compassion for her son and said to the king, "Please, my lord, do not give her the living baby. Don't kill him." Or, "Do give her the living baby. Don't kill him." But the other said, "Neither I nor you shall have him. Cut him in two." Then the king gave his ruling. "Give the baby to the first mother. Do not kill him. She is the mother." When all Israel heard the verdict the king had given, they held the king in awe because they saw that he had wisdom from God to administer justice.
Thank you. As I said, not your typical Mother's Day story. How many of you, that's a new story? You've never heard that before. It's okay. You can put your hand up. A few of you. Okay. Say, okay, Pastor Dave, why in the world would you, the first two sentences, there were two prostitutes. Wait, what? This is Mother's Day, isn't it? Aren't we talking? And I got to give Miles credit for something. He reminded, how many Seinfeld fans in here? Seinfeld, he reminded me of an episode where they took off on this. There was a bicycle that Kramer and Elaine were arguing and fighting over. Do you remember that? And they took it to Newman to be the judge. Be the judge. So they're arguing back and forth about this bicycle, and Newman says, "That's it, break the bike in half, and we'll give half to each of you." And Kramer said, no, give it to her, don't break the bike. He said, "I made my decision." Give the bike to Kramer. But this story holds so much more, because obviously we think of this normally as the presentation of Solomon's great wisdom, the example of how wise he was because of God's blessing to him. But there is a Mother's Day story in here. But this isn't going to look anything like the TV 1950s mothers that a lot of us were raised on. You know the ones. They're vacuuming in their pleated skirt with the pure white blouse, their hair and their makeup perfect, heels all set off by a beautiful strand of pearls. Come on, how many of you women clean the house that way? Let's go. There's several of you, I'm sure. Oh, you are so lying to me right now. I don't believe that. But see, these mothers couldn't be further from that. Let's look at what we know about them. As we said, first of all, they are prostitutes. Now, prostitution was certainly looked down upon in that culture, but there were aspects of it that were basically ignored because prostitutes were often slaves, that their master would use them in order to make money. Many times these women would be women who had never married, and there was nothing else to them. You have to remember that in that day, a single, unmarried adult woman was virtually non-existent in their culture. You had no standing. You had no rights. And the ones then also that sometimes came into that were those that were widowed. And Jesus had such compassion for the widows. If you notice, as you look at the things that Jesus says, he says in Mark 12:40 in particular, he says they devour, and he's talking about religious leaders now here. He said they devour widows' houses, and for a show they make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished severely. See, Jesus hated injustice, and it's what many of these women were driven to. But the fact is, these women both conceived children to men that were not a part of their lives, they were not their husbands, and they were in trouble. Now, it may seem strange that a woman would suffocate her child during the night, but don't forget, there weren't nurseries back then. There was no monitor that you put in the kids' room so you could sleep somewhere else. They all slept in the same bed. And tragically, this woman apparently rolled over in the middle of the night and suffocated her child. So we look at this situation, and these women are in trouble. There's one woman that's absolutely heartbroken, one woman that's a schemer, and neither of them are going anywhere in life in the right direction. But I've always had a question about this story because I've heard it many times. I've studied it. I've preached it. Why was Solomon even entertaining these two women in the first place? How is it that these two women, low on the social status pole, how did they make it into the throne room to speak to the king. He had guys for this. You don't walk into the president's office. I'm reading a book right now about Abraham Lincoln. And in Lincoln's day, people would want to come and see him. They were permitted just to walk into the White House, and they would sleep in the hallways waiting for an opportunity to talk to the president. Well, it was on that Good Friday after Ford's Theater that that stopped. You weren't allowed just to walk into the White House anymore. But how did these women end up there? Well, I think very simply it's because of the man that Solomon had become. Because earlier in that same chapter, God came to Solomon and said, Solomon, what do you need? What do you want? It's the only instance of God providing a blank check to someone in the scripture. What do you want? He could ask for anything. Now, let's be honest. If you or I were king, I probably would have said something like, I never want to lose a battle. I want every time we go into battle, we are going to be victorious every time. Would that have happened? Yes. God said, I'll give you anything you want. He could have said, I want to be phenomenally wealthy. I don't want to want for anything. I want to be able to live in luxury. I am the king. Would God have done that? Yes, he would. But Solomon didn't ask for any of that. You remember, Solomon said, God, all I want is wisdom. To be able to rule your people in a way that brings glory and honor to you. You know what God said back? I'm paraphrasing here. Good answer. Good answer. Because he said, not only is that such a good answer, I'm going to give you that wisdom, but I'm also going to give you everything else. I'm going to bless you in a way that few have ever been blessed. And I believe that what happened with Solomon was not only his wisdom is increased, so was his compassion. I think Solomon had a heart for his people. And I think that he was so moved by the plight of these two women that at some point he said, send them in. Let me talk to them. His actions, I think, are a blueprint for what every church should be in our culture today. We should all be a place where people can come that are hurting and that are lost. A place where people have been judged. A place where people have been criticized. A place where people have had their feelings, their emotions ripped apart from them. And can they find a place like this to come where they're going to be loved, where they are going to be accepted just for who they are? Now, that doesn't mean that we just live any way we want to. No, we follow the Word of God. This is our blueprint for our lives. But when you come to this place, you're not going to be judged. Nobody's going to sit and go, oh my, I can't believe what you've done. I can't believe who you are, what your past has been. My friends, we are all sinners saved by grace. And Solomon demonstrated, I believe, the very heart that we should have. And may I tell you, I believe this church is filled with people like that. Constantly, I will hear when people come to visit us for the first time. I've never been to a place where I felt so welcomed. And you know what I love about that? I've got nothing to do with it. I got nothing to do with it. It's you. Because your hearts are hungry after the things that they should be. And they are the things of God. These women were in front of Solomon because he cared, because he had compassion. And is that not certainly the heart of a mother? How many times did your mother wrap her arms around you when you deserved to be clocked beside the head? When you deserved to have something else done and she was compassionate and forgiving and loving? See, there's a common belief, I think, that is simply not true. And that belief is to have a baby makes you a mother or a father. It doesn't. No more than if I have a piano in my house, it makes me a musician. Or the fact that I have a stove in my kitchen means I'm a great chef. No, none of those things are true. It's a process. It's a journey of victories and mistakes, just like the daily walk of a Christian. But back to our story. See, this situation is as far from perfect as it can get. Two women under the same roof, both prostitutes. One is saying, that's my baby, the live one, the dead one's yours. No, it's the other way around. And Solomon is faced with a decision, and he's got to make the right one. But you see, what Solomon also knew because of God's wisdom is that that mother would do anything to protect her baby. And that's exactly what happened. God did that same thing for each of us. Because you see, that mother's love was so overwhelming and so overabounding that there was no circumstance that was going to prevent her from protecting her children. Is that not still the same thing that God did for each of us? That he sent Jesus to die for you. You see, the Bible tells us that the penalty of sin is death. You say, well, whoa, Pastor David, that doesn't take, we all die. No, I'm not talking about physical death. I'm talking about spiritual death. The wages of sin are a spiritual death, which means that you are eternally separated from the love, from the life, the light of God. Completely removed from that. You say, well, Pastor Dave, how bad can that be? I mean, you know, what's the song say? The sinners are much more fun. You know, go to hell where all the fun people are. No. That's the world's attempt to try to justify or to make it easier for me to accept the fact that I don't want to surrender my life to him, and so I go to hell. So what? My friends, we have no concept of what that is. All the Bible says is it's eternal torment. You say, Pastor Dave, you're going to give us a hellfire and brimstone message here? You're not Baptist, are you? Well, I studied at a Baptist school, but no, I don't need to do that. I don't need to do that. My focus is not on what we lose. My focus is on who God is and what he gives us. And he gives us the opportunity of eternal life with him. And it begins with his love. And see, for many of us, we had an opportunity to be exposed to the love of God for the first time through our mothers. Unconditional love. Unconditional care. Times I did not deserve it. This time I'm obviously, yesterday, today, and it's been leading up to this point, I've been reminded of a lot of things, of a lot of relationship with my mother and me. Now, I was, and don't call me a liar, because I know you're going to want to, Gina, I was a pretty good kid. I was a good kid. I was the oldest, so I had to blaze the trail and all of that. Now, my number two brother, Douglas, is watching this right now, and I'm sure that he's shaking his head right as I'm saying these things. It's all right, Doug, I still love you. But I was a pretty good kid, but certainly I got myself into trouble, like every single one of you did. And I'll tell you, I can think of more times that my mother was forgiving to me than I can of the times that I got laid into. Oh, I deserved it. But her love was unconditional for me. And truly, is that not a mother's love? It's unconditional. You may be the most rotten kid in the world. I still love you. You could say the most vile things to me. I still love you. Again, we see that in the love of God for each and every one of us. In the love of Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us. Now, admittedly, Mother's Day is not always easy. Again, I know there are relationships that were not good. Those of us that have lost our mothers, we never get to see them again, yet the memories are all there. But you see, just as Solomon had wisdom and love for his people given by God, so too you have those same gifts as well. You have the ability to love another person in a way that they do not deserve. All of us have friends. All of us probably have family members that, you know, if I could choose from another group, I might pick someone else to take their place. But you don't always get that option. You can't pick your family. You have who you have. But the love of God is an example for us to understand and to know that just like our mothers loved us, and just as we want to honor them, we honor him as well. Again, you go back to that verse in Exodus 20:12. The word honor means to make weighty or heavy, to give substance to. And if you think about that, when you honor your mother, you're giving substance. You're saying, yes, she has tremendous presence and weight in my life. It's a different way to think about that. But they deserve it. Your mothers have done more for you than you could possibly ever know, whether they're still with us or not. You'll never know. As I got older and spent more time talking with my mother when Katarina and I would go down and visit in South Carolina, she and I always got up early. and we'd sit out in the living room drinking coffee. And over the years, I had a chance to delve a little more into my mother's life. She's the divorce from my father. Moving to South Carolina, just uprooting and going after 25 years of living in the North. Coming back together with her old high school sweetheart, the privilege I had to marry them and to know that they had 20 incredible years together. But I got a chance to talk to her in a way that I rarely did. And I asked about the struggles. I asked about the pain, the troubles that she had. Because I don't think we think of that with our mothers very often. I don't know that we envision our mothers having to deal with the same kind of things that we deal with every single day because they're our moms. But I tell you what God did in my heart. He gave me a new appreciation for her, of how she took care of me and my two brothers, how she did it without complaining, how she did it with us never knowing what it was that was taking place. And I just had the opportunity to say again, thank you, God, for this incredible woman. Thank you, God, for blessing me to have her point me to you. Now, again, if you've never had that, you still have the opportunity to be that woman to someone else. And I can tell you this, those of you women here that have never had children of your own, you are still a mother. You're a mother emotionally to the people around you. You can be a spiritual mother to people who have never had that in their lives. And you know what the funny thing is? Because I'm sure there are some of you that are sitting here right now going, nah, I've never had that. That's never happened in my life. Yes, it has. Because the vast majority of the time, you're never even going to be aware of it. Someone's watching you. They're seeing how you deal with situations. Wives, how do you treat your husbands when you're just doing nothing? When you're out in public, how do you treat them? People are watching. How do you speak? What do you do? How do you react? What's your temper like? All of these things that God can use when you do them in a way that brings glory and honor to Him, you're being a mother to someone who desperately needs what it is that you have. Again, I want to encourage you this morning. If you've not spoken to your mom in a long time, for whatever reason, take that step today. Be the one that reaches out. You say, Pastor Dave, I don't think anything's going to change. It's all right. You're not going into this with a goal. All you're doing is just establishing contact, just letting them know, I'm thinking of you today. Now, guys, we're going to do the same thing for us in a few weeks. We are second class in this whole Mother's Father's Day thing. Let's just make no bones about that. Guys, I don't know how many more flashlights I can give you. Good grief. It might just be a handshake and a hug. That might be all you're going to get this year. But it's important. They're a demonstration of God's love for us. They speak to us in a way that introduces us to who God is. Be a good mother, but honor your mother today. If you can't tell her personally, honor in your heart. And just thank God for the woman that God placed there to be the first one to introduce you to the life that you have right now. Let's pray together. Well, Father, we do thank you this morning, first of all, for Jesus. Because without Jesus, none of the rest of this really means anything, because we'd be hopeless. But we're not. We have the promise of a risen Savior that says if we surrender our lives to you, that you will come and be Lord for us, the Lord of our lives, to enable us to be able to love other people when I don't think I can, to be able to forgive people who I'm looking at going, they don't deserve forgiveness. But Father, we didn't deserve love or forgiveness from you either, yet you gave it to us freely. So may we also be that example to other people, to extend your love to them. Father, we do thank you for our moms. We pray, God, that this would be a blessed day. I pray this would be a day that there would be reunion in families, that there would be healing because of you. And God, as we go about our day through the course of this week, I pray, God, that we will always be looking for opportunities to show people what Jesus means to us. And Father, if there's anyone here or anyone listening to my voice that's never accepted you as their Lord and Savior, may this be the day that they fully surrender themselves to you so they too can experience an unconditional love that drives away all the insecurities, drives away all of those things, God, that the world tells us is important, because I am holding to the truth of the love of our Creator God. Father, thank you for this time. Bless each and every person. Keep them safe. And we look forward to coming back again next week, all in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.